They all build. I'll tell you, it's been good for the holidays. How many people? Today's message is entitled Drama, Distractions, and Attack. Sitting here, I was like, I just should call it drama, 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 because that seems to be this time of year, whether you're in a customer service line or, my goodness, who knows. But anyway, so we're talking about drama, distractions, and attacks. Let's just say this. We're all going to be attacked when we serve God, right? You know, when we say yes to God, you know, there are just going to be hindrances out there that try to slow us down from doing what God's called us to do. And we're learning to not be distracted when people criticize us, but stay on task and focus, doing what God has put as his agenda, not our agenda, right? So God gives us a mission. You know, some people say a calling, and that kind of feels like super spiritual. But there are just going to be things that God puts on your heart, a tug on your heart, that he'll lead you to do and give him glory. And whether that be to build a business and give him glory, or a family, or do something in your community or neighborhood, or reach out to someone, when God puts something on our heart, we can't let anything distract us or hinder us, right? So, but you know, sometimes, like, I'll say this, you know, Satan works through people. He just does. And sometimes he's going to use some really unhealthy people. And I try not to, we don't want to ever name call. So if I use the word toxic, don't go up to someone and say you're toxic. That's name calling. We're going to talk about some behaviors here. And especially in the area of business. Anybody so tired of drama, drama, drama at work? This is like the best message for you to avoid drama in your business and get done what God has called you to do. So sometimes, you know, like I said, Satan's just going to use people. Ooh, hello. So loud. And it could be blatant aggressive or passive aggressive attacks. Sometimes people seem like they want to be your friend and they want to protect us, but sometimes they just want to control you. Anyone get around someone that the more you let them in their life, the more they try to control your life? Really not healthy, man. And when that doesn't work, they might threaten you or criticize you or attack you. And we're going to talk about a story in the book of Nehemiah. You can go there in the book of Nehemiah as we're going to camp out today. You know, sometimes people just want you to be something that you're actually not called to be. Anybody know who you're called to be? A son and a daughter of the Most High God, right? And then God does put things on your heart, just draws in your heart. It could be, like I said, things in your business, things in your family, your community. And he tugs at your heart to do things. But some people want you to be something else for them or do something else for them. And that keeps you from being who God's called you to be and doing what God's called you to do. Some of these toxic tactics include someone trying to dominate your time and attention. And they might use guilt to manipulate. Maybe you kind of put a boundary up like, hey, actually, I got this thing going on. I got this and this to do. And then they make you feel guilty. You know, oh, I thought you were a Christian, you know, blah, blah, blah. They kind of, you know, sometimes twist your faith against you. They become overly needy. And sometimes they just create drama. And they make things all about them. And if they don't get their way, they might criticize you, attack you, blame you, or play the victim. Anybody ever been in a situation like that? Yes. Okay. We're going to talk about solutions on how to navigate this. You know, sometimes they just want to destroy your focus because they want your focus on them. And our focus needs to be where? On Jesus. On Jesus first and then what he's called us to do, not for him, but with him. So John 10:10 just clarifies Satan's methods and says this. The thief's purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So remember, it's not always the actual person. It can be a spirit working through a person, an evil spirit that's just trying to operate through them. And they're trying to steal your time, your attention, destroy your focus, maybe even your reputation, your ministry, your career, your finances, your family, just mental health, your business. And they call that today cancel culture. We learned a lot about that in the last couple years. When you do something or be something different than what the world wants you to be, sometimes this threatening comes, I'm going to just shut you down. So let's see. How many people know that one toxic person can totally ruin your company, department, make you change jobs, totally destroy a grow group or a ministry? So God desires us to be fruitful, right? He wants us to be fruitful and productive in what he's called us to do, whether that be in our family, our business, our community, our neighborhood. And in order to be fruitful and productive, we need Jesus to be number one in our lives, right? The Lord of our life, our first love. And if you've ever met somebody that's really unhealthy with toxic behaviors, it's because they want to be the Lord over your life. They want to be the Lord of your time, of your attention. They want to be your number one priority, and they want to be your mission. You ever met someone like that? You're like, I'm called to do this, but someone is just constantly dominating all my time. So we're going to talk today about creating firm and loving boundaries and just how to ignore these behaviors, because it just is going to distract us with the drama from what we're called to do. All right, so we're going to dig into Nehemiah. Nehemiah, it's all about people skills, and I'm telling you, this is so good to get your company, your business, your department healthy, and get your family healthy. All right, so in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah gives us tons of wisdom to conquer persistent drama, distractions, and attacks. So Nehemiah lived in the 5th century before Christ, and he was called by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he brilliantly handled some toxic people that were just constantly trying to oppose him and delay that reconstruction. How many people know that reconstructions sometimes get delayed and get very frustrating for other people? Anybody, like, I was trying to go to a baby appointment, and I was like, okay, so we hit, there was an accident right in front of the college, and then there was, like, a roadblock and construction on Rathdon Road, and then another one on Queen Street, and things just, you know, distractions, delays can cause drama and keep you from doing what you need to do in life. All right. So the walls of Jerusalem had been completely destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, who was heading up. He was the king of the Babylonian invaders. And what they did is they dragged everybody they could get their hands on that they saw of value. They left a remnant of people there, but they dragged them off as captives into exile in a foreign land. Many of them became slaves or were just kind of forced to serving this foreign government. And the walls and the gates of Jerusalem were torn down for 114 years. Can you imagine your hometown, your house that you grew up in, the businesses that you built being invaded and completely destroyed, your livelihood, and then you and your children being hauled away somewhere? I mean, it's really heartbreaking when you take some time to think about this. With nothing, no progress for 114 years. And then 72 years later, the Israelites tried to rebuild the walls, but had no success. They rebuilt the temple, but didn't get the walls, so there was no protection. And, you know, they got discouraged. And, you know, when things take a really long time, are there things in your life that you're trying to rebuild, whether it be your finances, your family, just could be your overall health, relationships? When things take a long time, you get disheartened and you want to quit. So the people cried out to God, and they prayed, and they repented for idols and distractions. And then God responded by sending a very humble man named Nehemiah to help head up the efforts for rebuilding the walls. Now, Nehemiah was not a priest. He wasn't this super, you know, he wasn't, how would I say this? He was a civil servant. He worked in the government. He was just this guy that had the gift of encouragement and administration. And he was a man of incredible character. And so he was the cupbearer to the king, and that means every day he risked his life to eat the king's food to see if it was poisoned, so he would die first. So let me tell you this. If someone was protecting your life every day, I would probably want to become close to them, right, and build some trust. And the king built this really great relationship with Nehemiah because he's a man of character and integrity and excellence. And Nehemiah started getting favor with the king and influence with the king. Now, this king was King Artaxerxes, who happened to be the stepson of Queen Esther. Anybody remember Queen Esther from the Bible? So this is her stepson. So here we are in history here. All right, so once again, he had the gift of encouragement and administration. Administrative gifts are, they're in the Bible. It's a spiritual gift. They're people that get her done and give God glory. Man, they can organize things that are absolute chaos. And so once again, he's the cupbearer to the king. And the number one rule of the cupbearer to the king is this: you can't be depressed in front of the king. Anybody in a job where you're really kind of not allowed to have a bad day? Welcome to customer service, right? So the problem with this, he's not allowed to be sad in front of the king, but he just, we're going to jump in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm jumping around in translations, sometimes Message and New Living. He just got horrible, horrific news about his hometown. So the book of Nehemiah is kind of written like journal entries, like memoirs. So I'm going to read here. It says Nehemiah chapter 1, 1 through 4 in the Message. It says, one of my brothers came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. So they had just gone on a trip. And I asked them about the Jews had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going well for those who have survived the exile and returned to Jerusalem. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire. Conditions are appalling. So this city that was like the gem of how do I say this? I mean, it's not only their hometown. It's like it's the DC. You know, it's the hub of the nation, right? And the walls are broken down. The city is wide open to robbers and thieves. I want you to think about it like this. It'd be like if you moved your family back to the hometown to rebuild, and there were no doors on your houses to protect your wives and your children from attacks. I mean, that's terrifying to think about. They were open. I mean, come on, there was really no like major rules back then. People did what they wanted. And Nehemiah's heart broke. He had a great compassionate heart, and he was thinking about their pain and loss. And by the way, he's got a cush job. He could just blow this off and ignore them. You know, hey, I got a good job. You know, sorry about your loss, whatever. But he really, he took that to heart and started praying about it. And then the Lord placed it on his heart to rebuild the walls and the gates of this destroyed city. So when the king noticed that Nehemiah was grieved and was sad, how many people know when you get terrible news, you can put on a fake smile, but people are going to see past it when they know you? And he's like, hey, Nehemiah, what's up? What's up? So Nehemiah took a huge risk. I mean, this is like dynamics back then were very different with bosses and kings. He took a huge risk to actually share what was going on in his heart and ask the king for help. So let's see here. So, okay, Nehemiah 2, verse 4. The king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So when you get an opportunity because you have favor with your boss or your employer or maybe local government, you better pray because God can move in mighty miracle ways. So the king asked how he can help Nehemiah. I mean, that's crazy to like think about. And Nehemiah humbly shared his proposal to rebuild the walls. He had a plan and he had a list of all the needed supplies and resources. And it's wild. There's a miracle that happened. The king gave him all the money they needed, gave him all the supplies they needed, provided all the permits. How many people know permits are very hard to get a hold of? I mean, it became an officially commissioned project of the king under his protection. Nehemiah is just the guy that eats the happy meal before the king does. That's wild the amount of favor that he had based through, once again, he was an excellent employee. He was a man of character and integrity, and he caught the ear of his boss. And God answered a major prayer. So who we are in our workplace, and this king is obviously not serving the Lord per se, how we represent ourselves in our workplace, we got to be really careful what we say and how we interact, right? Because God can still move through non-Christians to answer prayers, especially in our community. But we know this, when we say yes to God and take action steps in our calling or our mission, don't be surprised when toxic people come out of the woodwork. You ever notice that? You're like, why am I being attacked? Because you're moving forward. And they're just, like I said, you're going to see it in this story, it's just trying to steal or drain your time or attention to get you off your mission. Because remember, if Satan can't get to you, he's just going to get to people around you. And if he can't get you to sin, now everybody get quiet, he will get you so busy, everybody say busy, with distractions that are off task, that are off task of the mission that God has called you to do. And I'm not hyper-spiritualizing this. Like I said, this could be in your career path, this could be in your education, this could be in the business that you're starting, rebuilding your family. Maybe the Lord's called you to start an after-school program at the local elementary school. But if he can't get you to sin, he will get you distracted and busy and all these other things, putting capes on when who's supposed to wear the cape? Jesus. And you have to be really careful going, hey, when someone prays, when someone asks for your help, you got to pray, God, am I the one sent on this or is it someone else? And if God says it's you, you better work on it and immediately obey, right? But God might say, you just need to pray and bless him because I'm sending one else because I've given you a different mission. You ever notice that you got a mission, you got a task set before you, and suddenly 10 other people dump something else on your desk and you can't get anything done? Sorry, my office is always a train wreck. Oh my gosh. I have a very clean house, my office a wreck, okay? All right, so Some people just want to pull you in endless drama cycles. You ever have that person, that coworker? I could name their name from my previous job. I worked in marketing and advertising specialties and business and shipping and so forth. And there was this girl, and when she would stop at my little office window cubicle, oh my gosh, all the drama, everything. And I'm like, and she'd be like, you want to go out to lunch? I was like, no, I never want to go out to lunch with you. Because what are you going to do? You just need to shower after lunch with all the work drama, okay? You don't even need to go to the water cooler that comes to your cubicle. All right. So 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. I like this one. This gives you some tactics for surviving the drama train at work. It says, no soldier in active service gets entangled or tied up in ordinary business affairs or civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who has enlisted him to serve. So what's it saying? God has given you a mission. God has given you a task. And if you get pulled into everyone else's drama, you're not going to be able to please and serve the God that sent you to do something else. We have no time for drama. Everybody say this. I have no time for drama. We're on a mission. Okay? Every person has a mission, right? And all of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation. That is to tell people about Jesus. But then also God has called us to go into all the world. That means in every career path, every community, every aspect of government, of families, of neighbors, and to represent him. Amen. And to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that means to bring healing and freedom and restoration. We need to know what our mission is. Because distractions will come from drama queens, negative Nancys, naysayers that are going to sow fear and doubt in the business plan that God has called you to do. Maybe it's just the constant critic. You know those person you talk to and they just go through all your plans to squash your dreams and your confidence from stepping out in faith. And there are just those mockers and backstabbers that just want to weigh you down with hurt. And we've talked about that the last several weeks of like, it's just going to happen. People are going to attack you. You can't take the hurt, because if you take the hurt, you're going to want to quit because you're just so exhausted with the attacks. All right, so Nehemiah, we're going to watch him. I'm telling you, like, he's so good at navigating this. Nehemiah did not react to criticism, mockery, insult, gossip, drama, betrayal. We're going to talk about all of it. He didn't allow it to slow him down or distract him from the mission that God has called him to. So Nehemiah 2, 19 through 20, this is the Amplified and Message translation smushed together here. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about the rebuilding of the wall, remember how we say toxic people don't like boundaries? They're rebuilding this wall. They laughed at us, mocking. Ha, what do you think you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Sarcasm. All right, how do you respond to mockery? How do you respond from mockery on media when they're not even your actual friend? It's just someone just doing like a trolling post, okay? How do you respond to mockery from frenemies or even from your own family at times if you don't always have a healthy family? Maybe God has spoken to you to go back to college and you are the oldest one in your nursing class. Isn't that incredible? I know so many people that were called, especially right now, getting called into the medical field is a really big deal because I know they were very shorthanded the last couple years. And, oh, no, you know, mom, you know, you're too old for this, blah, blah, blah. It's going to cost too much money. But God has told you to do it. We got to be quick to obey. And you know what? If people mock you, you know, you're just going to have to give it to God, all right? Maybe you're doing a total career change. Like, it's so out of your wheelhouse and your coworkers are starting to make fun of you about it. Maybe you're fighting to get your spouse back. And the Lord has spoken to you to restore that, and other people are making fun of you about it. You start a business or a Christian after school program. Maybe, you know, for some of our students in here, that they want to start a Christian campus club in their school, and people are making fun of them about it. You're starting a Bible study in your neighborhood. You start inviting people. They start making fun of you. Oh, you know, you're one of those crazy Jesus freaks Bible thumpers. Guilty as charged. We cannot afford to attack back or debate. Especially not on social media, the greatest black hole of time, right? Don't bother with social media. Just block it. Move on. It's just wasting precious time and energy. Like, you'll spend an hour going back and forth with trolls trying to defend yourself. Just block it. Move on, okay? Let's see here. Because, you know, once again, Satan will use people to wear you down, to exhaust you and distract you from your mission. All right, verse 20, Amplified Bible. Nehemiah answered them. He puts his focus. He says, the God of heaven has appointed us for his purpose. He just restates, this is my mission. This is what I'm called to do. and God will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and rebuild this wall. He points at my focus is on Jesus, and he points at one of the mission God's given him and a faith statement. God's got us, okay? We can't get pulled into the mudslinging. We got to just keep working and keep repeating the vision of what God has called us to do. And you got to keep that goal before your team, whether it be your business or your family or whoever's called to do ministry with you. How many people know Jesus sent people out two by two? We're not supposed to be doing things lone wolf. Like, God has called us into teams and community to do things. Keep that vision before your team, because maybe you're doing really good with ignoring the drama, but your partner isn't. So you have to help pull them out of the mud. All right. So it says, we're his servants and we're going to work rebuilding. You can stick to your own business. You get no say in this. Jerusalem is none of your business. This is the Message translation. But, you know, hey, you can say it nicely. Hey, I think I've heard mom say this. It's none of your concern. Or I'll take that into consideration. And you smile. Anybody use one of those? All right. It's none of your concern. You know, this is not your department. You know, just stick to your own department. We got this. All right. I also want to say this. I remember probably really strategic times in my life where it is scary to obey the call of God because of the sacrifices it takes, whether it's financial or in your career. You don't owe anyone an explanation of the call of God on your life, of your mission. You actually don't have to explain that to everyone. Because there are going to be naysayers and even, like I said, maybe even your own family that are just not people of faith. And the Bible says this in Matthew 7, verse 6. It says, don't cast your pearls before pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What is this saying? And it's kind of, you know, a little hard truth here. It says, don't share the treasures of your heart and your dreams to faithless people. Like I said, you ever had a business plan and you know God has called you to do it, your spouse is in agreement, you know, your grow group that you're going to is like, yeah, we got your back, and then you kind of share it with someone that's just not a person of faith, and it just rattles you? All right, Nehemiah doesn't get rattled. Nehemiah 4, he's like one of my heroes. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. It says, then Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, and he exploded in anger. Because once again, toxic people do not like boundaries. And he vilified the Jews. Made them the enemy. In the company of the Samaritan cronies and military, he let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? Make building stones out of make-believe? At his side, Tobiah the Ammonite jumped in and said, that's right. What do they think they're building? Why, if a fox jumped on that wall, it would fall to pieces under his weight. So it's a bunch of cronies in the break room talking bad about you because God has given you a strategy to pull your department together and bring your company into a prosperous role. And they're all just taking cheap shots at you and making fun of and sarcastic. Ah, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're up for promotion? You want to run this company? Just running their mouths. Because once again, they're rebuilding a wall. Toxic people hate boundaries. Oh, you don't want to go out to lunch with them and just go into all the cursing and nastiness and gossip and shredding your boss? Okay. They might criticize you. They might attack you with gossip, slander. They might mock you. They might try to overwhelm you with mile-long texts and emails. Endless emotional meetings of drama and just data dumping and venting. Trying to grind you down to exhaust you to get you to do what they want to do. We can't afford to be distracted by a minute, right? So how do we respond to ridicule and insult? Let's see what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah 4:4, real simple. He prayed. He laid it at the feet of the Lord. All right, Romans chapter 12, 19. People are like, why is it so simple? I say, everybody say this, drama. Do you want your life to be consumed with drama? You're never going to get anything done. So we're going to have to move forward. And we're going to hold each other accountable as a church body and a community and as a family to do the mission God has called us to do and not get pulled into this junk. Romans 12, 19, New Living Translation. It says, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So if you go walk into the break room and they're talking bad about you and they're trying to undermine, you know, the proposal that you just, you know, emailed up to the boss, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm not going to try to avenge myself. you know what? I'm going to pray for them, pray a blessing. God, you bless them into California or Japan, somewhere else with a great pay raise they can't refuse. Bless their wives, bless their children, move them all together into a different company. We bless them, Lord. Amen, right? Moving on up. So 1 Peter 3:9 says this, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. Don't retaliate. It is a waste of time. It will exhaust you and probably get you into sin. So Nehemiah, our hero, Nehemiah 4 verse 6, says we kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. I'm telling you, this is just, he's an administrator. He's a spiritual gift of administration. He goes, you know what? No matter what people say, I got a task. Remember Noah building the ark? They're mocking him. No matter what people say, I'm going to keep building the ark. It's what God called me to do. Stay focused on the task God has given you. Don't waste time defending yourself, retaliating. Okay, especially on social media. Waste of time. All right, so next point. What do we do when all of our enemies and frenemies join together, join forces to attack us all at the same time? I think we've all been through those seasons. So Nehemiah, this happened to him, Nehemiah 4, 7 through 9. So it says, when Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, and all these different people groups heard that the repairs of the wall of Jerusalem, boundaries, right, were going so well that the breaks in the wall were being fixed. There's being progress on this project that God has ordained. They were absolutely furious. I mean, why do they care? They had put their heads together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. Okay, the drama train is revving up. So how do we respond to attacks when all the opposition gangs up? You ever been ganged up on? You kind of walked into a big meeting. You're like, what is going on right now? What did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah 4:9. He countered with prayer to our God and set around the clock guard against them. You got to build yourself up in the word. You got to remind yourself of the promises of God and what God has called you to do. You got to, man, keep worship playing. Keep your Bible app playing. You got to just build yourself up. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. And I'll tell you, it's really easy to take a personal attack or a criticism, especially to your dreams or your plans, to heart. And you have to guard your heart. And we can't get obsessed with the opposition. We can't take it personal. What the Bible says this, it says, don't take it personal. It's not you, it's Jesus in you, right? Why don't they like me? It's not you, it's Jesus in you. You know, don't take it personal. It talks about that in John 15, 18 through 19. We can't afford to take the bait and anger and offense. We've talked about it in the past. So what does Nehemiah do with his focus? Instead of getting obsessed with those that are attacking him, he turned to his team. He turned to his team, whether your team is your family or your coworkers, maybe it's the moms in the neighborhood. He turned to his neat team and he was continually encouraging them. Remember, his name means encourager. And he empowered his teammates. He reminded them of what God had called them to do. He reminded them of the faithfulness of God and how God had moved powerfully in their nation in the past, right? He strengthened his team. When we encourage people, it causes courage to rise up in our team and the people around us. Maybe you need encouragement. Well, just encourage people around you. You'll get swept up in it. So then Nehemiah did this. He joined and unified his team together to take all in action. Now, I had to cut some things out, but Nehemiah chapter 3, if you read the whole chapter, it over and over and over again says this. They worked alongside them and next to them and next to them and next to them. In other words, he put all of his teams working side by side on different tasks, but together they had each other's back. Everyone was working together side by side as a community of believers. And this helped them fight the discouragement in their hearts, right? All right, Nehemiah 4, 11 through 12. This is why it's really good not to be a lone wolf. You're really easy to get picked off, okay? Nehemiah 4, 11 through 12 says, all this time our enemies were saying, so they can't get to you, they're just going to talk bad about you. They won't know what hit them. Before they know it, we'll be at their throats, killing them right and left. That will put a stop to the work. And the Jews who were their neighbors kept reporting, they kept repeating the drama. Like, did you hear what they were saying? Don't tell us what they're saying. We don't need to know. It's part of the gossip chain, okay? The neighbors kept reporting, they have us surrounded, they're going to attack. And if we heard it once, we heard it 10 times. In other words, drama, 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 okay? All right. So the thing with drama and the thing with gossip is all they need is one person to repeat it. and that other person to repeat it. And next thing you know, everybody's talking about it, and it's really only one person, right? And it's them. It's what they say or what they're saying. I'm like, who's the they? It's like this one person that's always toxic. And you know what? Everybody's repeating it. Just stop repeating the toxic report, okay? All right. So what's our response to gossip, intimidation, threatening news reports? What's our response? Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4, 13 through 14 says this. So I stationed armed guards at the most vulnerable places of the wall, the low and exposed areas. So we all have vulnerable places in our life. We all have these areas that sometimes it's wounds. Sometimes it's just our past. Sometimes it's just temptations that they're weak places. Raise your hand if you know your weak places. Hopefully your spouse knows them too. Why? Because we're supposed to cover each other. It is really important to find trustworthy, spiritually mature people each by your side. Why? Find someone that is strong in the area that you're weak in because they're going to cover you. And you know what the great thing is? Don't hang out with people that have all the same weaknesses as you. Why? Because you're going to party your weaknesses together, okay? Find people that are opposite of you. God will call you to hang out with people that you have nothing in common with except Jesus. Why? Because they're going to be strong in your weak areas, and you're going to be strong in their weak areas. All right, let's see. Okay, and the assigned people by families with swords, lances, and bows. Don't be afraid of them. Put your minds on the master, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. So it is really important when you have weak areas in your life to find scripture to stand on those vulnerable areas. Right? Let the weak say, I'm strong, and start making declarations over it. So if you have fear and insecurity, maybe it's over, you know, the statistics of cancer. Maybe every single person in your family died young of cancer or a heart attack. You better find scriptures to stand on. Right? And you tell that spirit of fear to go and build yourself up in the word so you're not haunted and tormented by what ifs. Maybe it's fear of your finances. You know, gosh, turn the news on and the economy and you're like, whoa, okay, like it's good to be wise and educated. But if you're dwelling on that fear all the time, you're going to need to find scriptures that it's God's plan and purpose to prosper you and bless you. What? So you can bless other people. God wants your business to prosper. Why? Because it provides jobs for this community. And as people are praying for their finances and their husband's job, God's answering that prayer through your business. So find scripture to declare over your life. They helped each other renew their minds, stay focused, unified in faith, having each other's back as a church family. At the end of the day, family is the family you choose. And like I said, if you have unhealthy people, listen, I'm not saying you cut them all out of your life. Put some boundaries up there. Ignore the drama. But then put some other people on your team at your side in these weak areas. Nehemiah 4, 15 through 18 says, our enemies learned that we knew all about their plan and that God had frustrated it. In other words, God squashed the plan. And we went back to the wall and went to work, staying focused. And from then on, half of the young men worked while the other half stood guard with lances, shields, and bows. So that means half of them had hammers, you know, and nail guns and all that stuff back then. And the other half, like, had their swords and their weapons. They were guarding. Military officers served as backup for everyone in Judah who was at work rebuilding the wall. Laborers held a tool in one hand and a spear in the other. We had the practical tools and the spiritual tools. Each of the builders had a sword strapped to his side as he worked. So everybody had the word of God is mentioned as the sword of the spirit in the New Testament, right? And a hammer, natural skills. So God has given you natural skills. Maybe you're great at math. Be my friend. That's why I married Brad. So great at math. Okay? Maybe you're very creative. Maybe like you could do the stage stuff. That is amazing. I don't even know how that comes together. Thank you, Chad. Okay? So whatever your gifts and talents are, God wants to use those for his glory. But he's also given you spiritual gifts as well, and you need to use both of them. And you need to develop both of them. So when the enemy saw that the whole team was united, and they had bonded together, they were protecting each other, they were helping each other, they're encouraging each other, the enemy finally lost heart. The enemy gave up that particular attack strategy. There is power in unity. All right, Nehemiah 4, 20 through 23. It says, when you hear the trumpet call, join us there. Our God will fight for us. And so we kept working from first light until the stars came out, half of us holding lances. And we all slept in our clothes, I, my brothers, my workmen, the guards backing me up. Each one kept his spear in his hand, even when he was getting water. So 2 Timothy 4:2 talks about be instant in season and out of season. That means be ready at all times. You got to stay built up in the word. You know, you don't really get an off day. Satan will look for your off day. Okay? All right, Nehemiah 6, 1 through 2. And it says, "And the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there was no more breaks in it, even though I hadn't installed the gates." So man, the wall's done. They're just putting the doors up. "Sanballat and Geshem sent this message, 'Come and meet with us at Kippurim in the Valley of Ono.'" So, you know, I'll say this. Toxic people may even sound reasonable at times. I mean, how could Nehemiah refuse just a little meeting? You know, we just want an hour of your time. We just kind of want to sit down and talk, kind of hash through some things. I mean, what could go wrong with just getting together to just talk about things? Nehemiah had discernment in his heart, and he knew they just wanted to rehash the drama. So mission-minded Nehemiah saw through the facade to the real intentions. And this was his response, Nehemiah 6, 2 through 4. He said, "I knew they were scheming to hurt me, so I sent messengers back with this. I am doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come down to see you and meet with you?" 4 times they sent this message, and 4 times I gave them the same answer. So Nehemiah discerns in his heart, this is really just something that's going to distract him from what he's called to do. And it's just, no, sometimes you just don't need to waste time debating something, right? You know what God's called you to do. They disagree with you. Don't waste your time, all right? "Sorry, I have a mission to do. I don't have time to meet with you." How many people, like, they're like, "Oh, it's just like a 20-minute stand-up meeting. Anybody have one of those?" And it turns into, like, you know, 3 hours later, and you're like, "What just happened? And I'm too tired to even do the work, and I'm sad, and I just want to eat Ben and Jerry's, like, a whole pint by myself." Yes, I did that. It's fine. My husband supported me. Okay. I did save the last bite of brownie for Brad. I was like, "Honey, I saved you a bite." He had his own. We bought 2. All right. So when toxic enemies are persistent, they're trying to wear you down. They're trying to guilt you. "What do you mean you don't have time for me? You don't have time for me." I don't. I have to get done what God has called me to do. All right? If they don't take no for an answer and they keep pushing your boundaries, cut and paste and send the last text that you sent. "I am so sorry. I do not have time. The Lord is telling me to restore my marriage. It's date night. I'm so sorry. Call a counselor. It's date night," okay, right? "I'm restoring my marriage." Whatever the Lord has called you to do. Don't be manipulated by false guilt and people-pleasing. I struggle with it. Easier said than done. All right. You got to keep your eyes on the task and the mission God has called you. You got to stick to the plan. "I'm rebuilding my life. I'm rebuilding my family. I'm rebuilding my career. I'm rebuilding my finances. I'm rebuilding my ministry. I'm rebuilding my neighborhood." Nehemiah chose to not get pulled into the drama. He didn't get into the debate. And actually, he stayed on his home turf where he was the strongest. You know, when people want to meet, they're like, "Oh, let's go meet at the bar. Let's go rehash things." You know, "No, I'm not going to go there. That's in my weak moment, okay? Come to church with me, okay, where I'm strong. You want to meet? You know, let's pray together after church." But, you know, if you have some temptations in your life with substances and their house is going to be filled with those substances, do not meet at their house, right? Okay? Nehemiah 6, 5 through 7. "The 5th time," so they're like, berating him with "Oh, we just want a little meeting." Okay. "The 5th time the messenger came with the same message, Sanballat sent an unsealed letter with this message. 'The word is out among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews have planned to rebel, and that's why you're rebuilding the wall. The word is out that you want to be king and that you have appointed prophets to announce this in Israel," or sorry, in Jerusalem. "There is a king in Judah. The king is going to be told all about this. Don't you think we should sit down and have a talk?" So you won't meet with them, and it's now escalating to threats. So if you don't do what we want you to do, if you are not who we want you to be, we're going to make sure the wrong people hear about this, and it's not going to go well for you. You're going to pay the price. We're calling the boss. We're copied him on all these emails, okay? So sometimes when toxic people don't get their way, they twist your words. You ever had that happen? You know, you put a firm boundary, and they twist your words, and they quote you out of misquote you out of context, and then they gossip and with these twisted words and tell other people why you won't meet with them. You just got to keep doing what you're called to do. You know, you can't control the narrative. It is what it is. So like I said, sometimes I just want to dominate your time and drain you. Sometimes it's just with a sense of neediness. It's the holidays, man. I'll tell you, Jesus is needed so much. The whole world needs you to be where you're called to be right now. And they might need you to be, like, you might your mission might be just going grocery shopping. Hey, I'm so sorry. I don't have time to meet with you. I have a 5-minute phone call on my drive. I got to go to Walmart. And you know Walmart right now is a little crazy. Mission Walmart. I got to feed the kids and give my husband a nice meal. Why? Because God wants you on aisle 5. Because your kid just dropped the apple juice and clean up on aisle 5. And God needed you there for such a time as this, not reacting, because God wants you to pray for the guy cleaning up aisle 5. There was a divine appointment. I'm so sorry, I can't meet with you. I'm on a mission. I got to go to the grocery store. Guys, it can be so small, but God will cause divine appointments when we're where we're supposed to be, being who we're supposed to be. But if he can steal your time with all kinds of drama and all kinds of distractions and keep you off mission, are you going to get anything accomplished? We learn a lot from Nehemiah. You know, it's interesting. I'm reading good counseling books. It's been good for me. sometimes unhealthy people, they just want your attention, even if it's negative. Like, if I can't get it for a positive thing, I'll do something to get negative attention. You ever seen a kid do this? You know, mommy, 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 and then they do something like they colored all over the wall in red crayon just to get your attention. How many people know that sometimes adults are just big kids? Okay. They'll do something negative to control your time. They just want a slice of your time, your effort, your energy. It doesn't matter if you don't sympathize with them. Maybe you're just angry and frustrated with them. But as long as you notice them and now give them time and attention, they're, in a really unhealthy way, content. Why? Because it's all about controlling your time. If I can't have a relationship with this person, then I'll just attack them because at least I get a response. It's interesting. How do you respond to a defamation of character and accusation? How do you respond? All right. When someone threatens you based on lies, maybe a lawsuit. Anyone ever had to deal with a lawsuit? Oh, my gosh. Maybe it's a jealous coworker and they start a rumor because they just want to get you fired. Maybe it's slander to get you kicked off your team, off the board of directors, off a local office. Gossip and lies are what fuel the cancel culture. And it's kind of scary. Like, there's a lot of people that don't stand up for their faith at work or even in their business because we're afraid of being canceled. Nehemiah tells us how to do this. Number one, don't try to control the narrative. Once again, pray and stay focused on what God has called you to do. So Nehemiah 6, 8 through 9. And NIV says this, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it all up out of your head. In other words, I don't know where you are, but you're in this drama train up here, and this is actually not a reality right now, okay? They were trying to intimidate us into quitting. They thought they'll give up and they'll finish. They thought they'll give up. They'll never finish it. So I prayed, God, give me strength. Anybody in that moment? Of just drama, drama, drama. God, give me strength, okay? So this is when we have to just pull ourselves out of that and just run into the secret place of his presence, of his word, and times of worship, and strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Once again, don't waste time debating or trying to pacify a toxic person. You can't reason with someone that's unreasonable. Anybody ever had a situation where trying to reason with someone and they're so worked up and so emotional and you're going to spend 2 hours of your time and at that point you're unreasonable and you're hangry and you just are late and now your wife's upset with you because you had a mission which was spending time with your kids that night? That was your mission. It's time to double down in prayer and worship in the Word. And just receive God's grace, empowerment, and his courage, his affirmation, his wisdom on how to navigate these things. So I think this is the last, like, major, there's a couple things, but we were going to talk about betrayal. Anybody ever had, like, a backstab that took you years to really work through the forgiveness process? Yeah, me too. Especially by someone close to you, like real close to you. That's what we're going to talk about. So if you've ever been going through a hard season, like I said, maybe your mission is rebuilding your life, your finances, your ministry, your marriage, your family, maybe your relationship with your son. And suddenly, out of nowhere, there's all these different attacks on all different fronts. Maybe you lost your job, the car breaks down, debt piles up, a lawsuit hits. And then suddenly, someone you thought was your friend, a fellow Christian that you thought they had your back, and they turn on you in the trenches while you're being attacked. I've had this happen, man. Oh my gosh, like someone I was doing ministry with, and I'm like, wait, I'm going through the closest to hell I've ever been through in my life. Like, my father's death was easier than the situation I'm going through, and a best friend is gonna just stab you in the back and attack you and spreading lies. I've been there. It's hard. You know, your heart gets crushed. Maybe it may not be even like a Christian friend. It might even be in a romantic relationship. That's really, really rough. Maybe they betrayed you. They cheated on you. They lied to you. They abandoned you. They walked out. They took the house, the kids, the car, the business, and all they left you is debt. This is the person that you thought would have your back the most, especially in a time of personal crisis. Getting stabbed in the back by someone closest to you is really hard. And I'm not going to downplay that or say it flippantly. You need Jesus. You need his word. And there is a time of grief, right? And a loss. And the Bible says, you know, you grieve with those that grieve. But we can't get stuck there and lose 20 years of our life and get off mission. You know what? We rebuild. We have kids. We have other things in our lives that we will have to allow God to heal so we can continue on. You know, enemies we expect to be attacked from. But attacks on your own team, another Christian close to you, can knock the wind out of your sails. You can go into shock. And it cuts deep to the core. And it can really scar you, cause you to leave churches, cause you to write off friends completely. And that's why, you know, go read my other messages, and we go into the nitty-gritty of forgiveness. Doesn't make it okay what they did to you. We sometimes just forgive for our own sake. We have to allow our hearts to heal so we don't get bitter and it doesn't destroy the other relationships in our life. Otherwise, that scarring can allow you to make vows that are very dangerous to make. Like, I'll never have a best friend ever again. You know, I'm never going to plant in a church ever again. You know, I'm not going to lead a Bible study ever again. You know, they didn't come, and, you know, when I needed them, they didn't call me back. All right. And we've been lone wolfing it ever since in self-preservation, just so they can't hurt me again. This isn't healthy. So how does Nehemiah handle it? So this is the final blow with the enemies when Nehemiah is betrayed by someone that was on his own team. This is in Nehemiah 6, 10 through 15. We're not going to read all of it. But someone from his own team was paid to lie to him and betray him. Someone was paid to scare him off track, off mission, to give up the work. So Nehemiah 6, 10 through 14, it says, later, I went to visit Shemalah at his house, and he said, let's meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the door shut, because your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. Shemalah is actually a religious name. It's a very common name for the tribe of Levi. Anybody know who the Levites were? They're the ones that served in church. They're ones that served in the temple. And whether it's like worship or the priests or ministry. So these are like the core people in church. He was someone that appeared to be a close friend, a Christian, someone close on his team. Maybe you've been, like I said, betrayed by a close friend that was supposed to be a Christian, or maybe a partner in business that they said they were a Christian, or ministry, and they attacked you with a lie. This is where the sin trap of offense, we can't take the bait. It hurts really, really bad. But if we start to pull back in isolation and we sit on this bench because we're so hurt, and we start hiding on the back row, and we stop being who God's called us to be and doing what God's called us to do, not only will it cost you so much in your own heart, it'll affect the person relationships, but also what God has called you to do within community, right? So verse 11, Nehemiah said this, why would a man like me, did I read 10 through 14? I'm having a brain birth. Later, I went to visit Shemalah at his house, and he said, let's meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the door shut, because your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. Okay, So verse 11, he says, why would a man like me run for cover? Why would a man like me use the temple as a hideout? I won't do it. So someone that was looking, you know, using excuse, hey, I'm trying to protect you from this gossip and slander. I'm trying to protect you and your business. But actually, it's a setup. So in the Old Testament, it was considered a sin to use the temple for personal use. Did you know that? So you couldn't use it for your business, for a meeting or a hideout. That was just illegal back then. Only the consecrated priests were allowed to go into the holy place. So this was a setup. He's going to try to set Nehemiah up to break the law, right? But Nehemiah took courage. Instead of reacting in fear, he took courage in the Lord. And he didn't use the excuse of fear to hide out and hurt. All right, so verse 12 through 13, the Message translation. He says, I sense that God hadn't sent this man. This is why it's important when you're going through drama and conflict, maybe the hardest season in your work. How many people know that this is like a really tough season in business right now? Like it's like everything's pushing, grinding, trying to get things done so you take vacation. We can get really, really busy. It is so important to stay full of the word and just in that time with the Lord and in prayer so we can tune in and hear and discern what God is trying to do. Otherwise, we can easily be manipulated by our emotions. All right, so let's see, where am I here? He says, I sensed, he discerned that God hadn't sent this man. Like you can't explain it, something's off. I just don't need to go into business with this person, something's off. We don't need to be best friends, but you can come to church with me. Something's a little bit off. He said, this so-called prophecy he spoke to me was the work of Tobiah and Sanballat. They had hired him. He had been hired to scare me off, to trick me, a layman in the temple, right, into desecrating the temple and ruining my good reputation so they could accuse me. So what's our response when someone tries to ruin our reputation? Verse 14, Nehemiah, once again, simply surrenders them and this situation to the Lord, and he prays, and he moves on in what God had called him to do. You know, it's not really wise to launch this campaign to go kind of correct someone or launch a campaign against someone to expose someone at the time. You know, it's just going to distract you. What does God call you to do? Pray and let God handle it in his own way, in his own timing. Nehemiah 6:14, it says this, they have been trying to intimidate me and undermine my confidence. So what is our response when someone's trying to intimidate you? You ever been around someone, they're just trying to throw their weight around and intimidate you, kind of just, you know, just kind of like push you to the point where you kind of give up what you know you're supposed to be doing? This happens in business. Nehemiah took courage and he says, I will not be afraid. He chose to not be intimidated. He took courage in the Lord and he discerned in his heart that scheme. We have to choose courage and not fear. That will come when we're full of the word, right? And when you're filled with the word, you're going to discern things, say, attacks from the enemy that you weren't really aware of. You're just going to get that gut feeling. You know, the Bible says to be led by your peace. There's going to be opportunities that come up, and you just don't have peace about it. But everybody's kind of pushing you and using logic and reason, even emotions, to make you make a certain decision. But in your gut, you're spending time with the Lord. I just don't have peace. All right? God revealed the true colors of that conspiracy. God will reveal the true colors of an investment. Maybe you're getting pushed into this investment and everybody's saying this is a sure deal. And you know, all I got to do is sign on to this thing. And there's pressure. Satan manipulates through pressure. But when you get in that secret place and you start praying with your spouse, you're like, oh, I know everybody's saying this is a really good investment, but in my gut, I just don't have peace about it. All right. So let's go back to this concept. What is our response to the betrayal of a friend of another Christian? We have to forgive. We have to move forward. It is a daily process. It is an act of your will. It's not because you feel it. It's because God tells us to forgive. And it really, once again, it's not because they deserve that. It's for our own sake. So we don't get bitter and it doesn't destroy opportunities in front of us or future relationship that God has called us to do. Because if you take the bait of offense, Satan will steal twice. So you have to run forward into the new season that God has called you to. So Nehemiah's focus, his determination, his wise handling of toxic people resulted in an incredible victory, not only for him, but for the people that God had called him to lead and his team. And his mission was accomplished in record timing. So verses 15 through 16, it says, the wall was finished. It had taken 52 days. When all of our enemies heard the news and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies totally lost their nerve. They knew that God was behind this work. You know what? You don't need to defend yourself. What? The fruit of your life gives glory to God. What are they going to do? You know what? You know, just look at the fruit of your life. So those walls were broken down for 114 years. For 72 years, they tried to rebuild the wall with no success because of all the drama, right? But Nehemiah had that laser focus because he stuck to the mission that God had called him to do. And I'm not going to get pulled into the drama. I'm not going to get distracted by everybody else's emotional tactics. I'm not going to react or defend myself to these attacks. I'm going to stay focused and rally my team on the vision for the mission. And he did it in 52 days. The walls were destroyed for 114 years. People tried to rebuild it, but because of all the drama, couldn't get it done for 72 years. And this mighty man of God with the gift of administration, with focus, clarity, and integrity. Hey, I don't got time for the drama. I'm doing what God's called me to do. You can say what you want. This is what God's called me to do for my family, for my business, for my ministry, for my community. This is what God's called me to do. 52 days. This is what missions-minded people can accomplish. They can do a lot in a short amount of time when they don't allow toxic drama to distract them. So what do we need to do? We have to set those boundaries. And yeah, people don't like boundaries. And if they react and they attack you, it just says you're not healthy. Okay, you're not healthy. If it's not your mission to work that out, get them in counseling and therapy and bless them somewhere, bless them to a different job, Lord, amen, okay? And ignore the tactics because they're just going to keep coming. For some of you parents out there, when your kid is having, I remember we had temper tantrums at the grocery store, right? That's like the number one spot. I remember temper tantrums at the grocery store, right? Why? Because it's public. It's embarrassing. And mom's going to give you the lollipop, right? You know, sometimes adults are just big kids. And they think if I just keep throwing this tantrum, if I just keep barking up the tree, if I just keep threatening you with a lawsuit, you'll eventually give in and do what I want you to do and be who I want you to be. Set the boundary. So sorry. I am so busy doing what I am called to do. This is my mission. And you're just going to have to ignore them. And they might just run out of steam. And if not, they'll just find someone else that will give them attention. All right? let's see here. All right. So this is an interesting thing. So they've completed the wall. They're celebrating. And, you know, sometimes people just refuse to admit defeat. And this is funny what happens here. So the wall was completed, but this guy, Tobiah, just won't let it go. So verse 17 through 19, let's see, what chapter is this? I think it's looking at my notes here. I don't even know, but we're in the Bible. I'm reading it, okay? Thank you, six, thank you. It says, all during this time, letters were going back and forth constantly between the nobles of Judah and Tobiah. Many of the nobles had ties to him by marriage. They kept telling me all the good things Tobiah did, and then they would report back to him anything I would say. And then Tobiah would send letters to intimidate me. How do I say this? Just tell your team to stop reporting the drama. They don't need to report the gossip. Oh, did you hear what they said? And they said, you know, like maybe you pulled yourself out of it, but your team just wants to keep educating you. Just, hey, team, I love you guys. We're good. Let's just do what we're called to do. Never compare your mission or the victory that God has given you with other people's victories. Especially on social media. You're like, man, God, thanks. And then someone posts something and you're like, that was nothing in comparison. All right, great. It messes with your head. It intimidates you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says this, for we dare not value or compare ourselves against those who flaunt themselves. For those among them who compare themselves are not wise. They're foolish. So when we start comparing the victory that God has given us with someone else's victory, what does it do? It takes the glory away from the Lord. We need to celebrate the small things and the big things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Praise him for the big stuff and the small stuff, no matter what. Because joy strengthens us, right? And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when the wall was completed and all these reports were still coming in, what did Nehemiah do? He rallied his team and goes, hey, we're going to give praise and glory to God. We're going to saturate ourselves in the word. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a feast. Don't look back. Don't be sad. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
We have to choose to remember to rejoice and praise God, even in the midst when oncoming attacks keep happening, when people question your motives and question your character. Lord, rejoice when you go through trials and temptations, right? Because praise is not a feeling, it is a choice. It requires faith, but it brings breakthrough because praise is the highest form of prayer. It starts thanking God for doing something before it even manifests. And that's why this time in prayer and worship is so important to come forward. You don't have to come forward. You can worship at your seat. But wherever you do, to fully engage. Because you might go through a really hard time, and I'm going to start praising God and thanking God that he's moving, he's moving, he's moving. Even though I can't see it, he's moving. And start thanking him for what he's promised to do. Because our hearts, we can surrender those people and surrender those situations to him. And then he starts moving through our faith, right? God is not... God is not moved by our needs. He is moved by our faith. Study that on the Bible. And this thought about our focus here. Remember I shared with that verse in the beginning about, our mission in life is to put God first, right? Go into all the world. Put God first. All these things will be added to us. And then it says in Timothy, I think it was like my first page here, yeah, the mission, 2 Timothy 2:2. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy, reliable, faithful people who will be able to pass them on to others. So it's really important to not get so focused on toxic people that are just trying to drama, distract you, but to find faithful people that actually want to change and want to be transformed into the image of God. And so refocus over there. Because if we allow our focus to be keeping unhealthy people happy, they're never going to be happy. You ever meet somebody? They're never going to be happy. They're never going to be satisfied. And it's just like pouring resources into a sinking ship. But if they're your mission, do whatever God's called you to do. But your mission is going to be fruitful when it's your mission. Maybe there's someone else's mission. So Nehemiah, instead of being so consumed trying to keep impossible people that will never be happy and satisfied, trying to satisfy them, he turned his attention to trustworthy people that wanted to change and wanted to be transformed and wanted to be a part of what that mission was. And Nehemiah 7:2, so he refocused on discipling leadership from, quote, faithful and God-fearing men. So the very last scripture in the book of Nehemiah kind of as this reminder, and it's Nehemiah 13:31, the very last scripture, the very last chapter, it says, remember me with favor, my God. Remember me with favor, my God. The only person we need to care about how they remember us is the Lord. Do you know you stand before God alone? You don't even stand next to your spouse. When you one day pass away at a ripe old age in Jesus' name and great health, and you go to the other side, you stand before the Lord, you don't stand there even with your team. You stand there before God. We need to care most about how he remembers us and not care about how toxic people view us or how they talk about us, because it's actually idolatry to hold their view of you higher than God's view. Don't allow other people to distract you from the mission that God has called you. Because at the end of the day, Matthew 24:21, instead, let's live to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's just stand up and we're just going to pray. I just want to, like, just a minute just to surrender. Lord God, right now we just, forgive us, myself included, Lord, for getting distracted off mission, off calling, being led by needs, not being led by the Holy Spirit, being led by emotions, being led by pressure, and not by you, Lord. Forgive us, including myself, Lord God. We surrender these people, and these are people that you love. You love unhealthy people, Lord. You came to die for them and heal them. And Lord, I pray that you work on their hearts, Lord, and they soften their hearts, and we break off lies and deceptions off of them in Jesus' name, that they would want to receive your engrafted word and allow it to transform them, that they would repent, Lord God, and turn from those toxic, unhealthy ways and start seeking you and want to be transformed in your image. But Lord, we surrender them to you. You love them, and we choose to love them, Lord. Give us wisdom for boundaries, Lord God. Give us wisdom how to protect our mission, how to protect our families and our marriages, Lord. We surrender. I just feel like there's just people
right now that are coming to mind. Maybe you're kind of seeing them in your mind's eye, or just you're hearing them whisper in their heart. If you need to forgive them for the attacks, the accusation, the slander, the lies, we just say their name to the Lord, you know, not loud enough that anybody else could hear, but Lord, we surrender them to you. We forgive because you've commanded us to forgive. Doesn't make it okay what they did, but we forgive, Lord. And we bless them, Lord. Bless their marriages. Bless their finances. Bless their career paths. Bless their job, Lord. I pray you move them into places where they would not have influence to hurt other people. Bless their health in Jesus' name. We pray healing for their hearts because hurting people often hurt people, Lord. We surrender. And Lord, I thank you right now. Just forgive us for getting off task, off mission. And Lord, we say, have your way in our lives. We want to go where you're going. We want to say what you're saying, Lord God. We want to be and do what we're called to do with you. And Lord, I thank you for helping us stay focused. Love people, but stay focused. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.